with us are going to get exposed to be able to pay with different terms, measures, or have different types of discounts, like maybe dealer related level pricing. And dealer level pricing is something that all of our customers can experience as well. So once we establish that relationship with people that want to do business with us, set them up on custom price plans so we can all make a little money as we're trying to work through the process of making money.
Welcome to B2B Commerce Uncut, a journey through change. On this podcast, we have honest, hard-hitting conversations with thought leaders, distributors, and innovators in digital commerce and transformation. We explore not only the success, but also the challenges that manufacturers, distributors, and wholesalers can face in achieving successful digital transformation for their companies. This episode is brought to you by Oro, a leading innovator and provider of customer-driven, powerful and connected open source software for B2B digital transformation. Oro seeks to build long-term, trustful relationships with its customers, integrators, developers, and technology partners by empowering people with the best tools to digitalize their business. Find out more at oroinc.com. That's OROINC.com. And here's your host, Daphna Andrews.
Hello and welcome everybody to the latest installment of the B2B Commerce Uncut podcast brought to you by Oro. And we are very lucky today to have a special guest. This here is Kevin Kreese, who is currently the director of e-commerce for WasteQuip, which is located in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Although he is a native of Oregon, so wanted to throw that out since I'm based here in Oregon. He has been a solutionary at WasteQuip for over 8 years. And helps them develop business solutions to better manage data for internal use via analytics. And more recently, he's developed the infrastructure to support WasteQuip's distribution business through the launch of WasteBuilt Environmental Solutions website, which is called wastebuilt.com. And I'm very happy to welcome Kevin.
Thank you very much. I'm proud to be here. I appreciate you guys asking me to come on board and tell you my story.
So, Kevin, can you first give us an overview about WasteQuip and the company, and then maybe go into describing the challenges that you experienced that really led to your decision to implement a digital commerce channel?
So, WasteQuip is a company that offers a lot of different solutions for the refuse business. We provide manufactured products via garbage trucks or roll-off containers. We also make plastic containers for the brand name Toter for a lot of different types of services as well. Things through our WasteQuip work section where we service any parts that we sell and try to help with installation or initial configuration. And then we offer a part solution, which has recently been branded through our wastebuilt.com website. So we got kind of started in this space based off of the overall need for trying to help our customers figure out where do they find parts just in general. I mean, overall, whenever you are looking at parts in the waste industry, it was very difficult to try to find where parts exist. In fact, I remember the first time I started asking questions like, how is it that people actually identify replacement parts for our products? The gentleman I was speaking to had turned around and brought this book out. It was a 2-inch thick, but probably over 1,000 different pages. And he dropped on the counter and said, I have to look through this. And as he dropped it, my water flipped over. And so he went and he dove on it just to grab it real quick and then try to keep it from getting damaged. It's like his lifeblood. And I'm like, man, these guys are working so hard to try to find these types of parts. You know, and then as we started looking at our competitors and different websites, it became pretty clear to us that there's just a lot of opportunity to where we can make this overall experience for how you do business in the waste industry better.
Awesome. And so, I mean, I'm sure that person's daily job got probably a lot better.
Well, yeah. You know, today what we have is we've got tools that are out there that help make finding parts easier across the board. And no matter if they know, if they're experts in the field, they know exactly what parts they're looking for, or maybe they're on an Easter egg hunt, if you will, trying to say, hey, I have this one little piece that's broken. I've got to look through blown apart assembly drawing to figure out exactly what that widget is called so that I can order another replacement piece. And those are some of those types of solutions we've put in place just to make the overall experience better.
Right. And I imagine that's actually especially impactful if you have a large truck that is going through neighborhoods. You know, safety is a big concern. The ability to find a part quickly and replace it effectively and safely is a huge part of your business.
Oh, yeah. You know, WasteBuilt takes pride in trying to ensure that we get parts to our customers as quickly as possible. I mean, we can go nationwide within 3 days because our customers, they can't afford downtime. They've got trucks that need to be on the road. They need to be collecting waste from all our different types of customers and keeping our streets clean. So we try to make sure that we've got parts available across the U.S. to get to our customers quickly. and that they're easy to find, and in all honesty, to make sure that they can search for our parts whenever they need to, rather than just 8 to 5. You know, our website offers a 24/7 sales channel where they can do the research that they need when they've got the time to do it on whatever platform that they want. I mean, as you're well aware with the Oura platform, you've got the capability to build wonderful mobile experiences, tablet experiences, or desktop experiences. They're all just bundled into the tools that we use.
Awesome. And so, when you know, since you've implemented that digital channel, were you really able to see, you know, additional benefits, any other challenges that kind of came up? Because obviously, as you digitize and then digitalize, you're uncovering a lot of processes that maybe weren't the most efficient, what have you. So I'm curious to hear what other benefits you experienced.
There's been all kinds of opportunities for both internal and external growth. Internally, when you go through a process of trying to get a website rebranded onto a different web platform, if you will, you have to go through the pain points of what they currently have. And so we had gone through the process of actually merging our Go to Parts business with Waste Build and taking those two businesses, slamming them together, and then figuring out that whole pain. We used our product information management system, Salsify, to help us with that. Having an information management tool has made this process a lot easier. It's helped us get over a lot of the internal hurdles that we've had. Using tools like that have allowed us to establish workflows to where we can collect images, we can go through and get product dimensions, we can get packaging dimensions, we can identify or even outsource the creation of marketing copy and kind of manage it all through one centralized tool. And so, you know, having tools like Salsify in place have been extremely helpful for us to kind of overcome some of our internal battles. You know, I mean, I don't know, anyone who's worked in this industry has, I mean, that's the other story I have to tell is, you know, when we started this, I remember at one point we had 24 different item numbers that said spring. That's what they
just
were.
Spring?
They were all just spring. Just,
okay. Okay. How would somebody find?
Yeah, that's kind of the puzzle. I had to hire different people that I have on boots on the ground that are out in our distribution locations that pull product off the shelves and then ask, you know, work with our purchasing team, work with our suppliers to identify what are the selling features around this spring and how do I differentiate this spring from that spring and make sure that we're telling a really concise story that helps our customers make informed and accurate decisions. You know, our overall goal for our customers is to make sure that they're empowered to work with us quickly and easily and know what they're getting the right product. We don't want them to have to return product. We know that they don't have time for that. And so we're making every effort from an e-commerce perspective to tell a full story, to give them not only just the product specifications, but images and even blown apart drawings of complex assemblies to make sure they get getting the right parts. We're really making an effort to get them the right parts at the right time so they can move forward with their business.
And as you mentioned, that's all available also on mobile. So if you have somebody out in the field, they're able to pull that up and see that on their phone as well, correct?
You bet. You know, our mobile experience is just as good as our desktop experience. In fact, I mean, we've taken a lot of time to ensure that no matter what device they're on, even if they're underneath the truck on a tablet, trying to pull different parts out, they know kind of where they're at. They can turn around and use a laptop right there and start looking at, I've got this model number, pull that model number up and look at the different pieces to where they're at and kind of match them up so they can go from there. It's definitely been an industry changer. It's something that when I started back in the Go to Parts days, working with leadership then, they're like, hey, we'd like to see a picture of a truck. And from that truck, I want to go to the lifter. And from the lifter, I want to go to this other hoist mechanism and all these different sub-assemblies. The only way we can start doing that is starting from the bottom up. So, you know, do I have images of every part? And then you kind of start building that into little sub-assemblies. And those sub-assemblies join other assemblies. And so we're continuously working to try to build out almost like a reverse bill of materials for the products that we're going to sell on our website. And through that reverse engineering, if you will, give our customers interactive experiences that help them to find the products.
As you're talking about people that are creating these product descriptions or creating, you know, different specifications, do you see a real opportunity for generative AI to be a facilitator or a time savings for your organization to help with that, either the product descriptions or whatever it could be that basically, you know, you're training this language model based on data that you have at WasteQuip. So it's not like you're going out in the internet and you're not exposing all this information. You have control over the data. Is that something you guys see? Because I know Oura, we do have that on our roadmap.
Yeah, it is something that I see. And there's certain pieces of AI that we're currently using to help tell our story. We have different internal models that we use to help us figure out how to get some of our metadata populated for our different product lines and product categories and things of that nature. So it definitely has a place. I mean, you know, augmented technology to kind of help us with even identification of different images and things of that nature are definitely something that I would love to see. And we're making the effort to invest in the infrastructure to say, hey, I've got that foundation to where I can start mapping out these images and help people with recognition of images as they submit them and things of that nature. So down the road, that's one of those maybe 5-year plans that I'd love to try to see, because I think in the end, if I get people can say, well, what is this thing? Click, send off. And I send them back, it's this item and you can have it today for, you know, $129.95, you know? And so yeah, I want to
do that. Easy payment.
Exactly. Able to do those types of things. I mean, that's the experience I think everyone really wants. I mean, I'd love to be able to do that with stuff I buy from Amazon, but Amazon's not there yet. So hopefully I can beat in the market on that.
That would be an amazing opportunity where you have somebody who's under his or her truck and they're taking a picture. You could even do, you know, like we've seen, you know, image searches right there in the tool. Exactly. So that's something where I think there's just so much excitement out there in the technology. And that's really what transformation is about, right? It's about harnessing that technology so that you can transform your business, get into different markets, what have you. And so you're looking sort of at, you know, your company, back to your company, and you look at sort of what the capabilities you've enabled to not just digitize, but really digitalize, where you're taking that technology now and you're transforming your business. How has that worked? I know you and I have discussed offline some integrations with your ERP. If you want to discuss that, that's very interesting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you've gone from a company that is used to doing things manually to take an additional headcount to where you can actually go through and look at automating different processes. And so, you know, we've done things like our website gets nightly feeds of our product pricing, our inventory levels. Then we do follow-up checks at the time of checkout to make sure that people are getting exactly what they want when they need it, right? So I do an inventory checkout time to make sure we still have it on hand. It hasn't been sold to the person right before them. And that they're also getting the most accurate pricing. So there's been any change in pricing since it's updated right at that point. You know, and then from there, it's just the creation of customer records, the creation of orders, and all those things that if you do take the time to set it up and you take the time to map it in correctly and you're thorough with that, then you're going to get more accurate records than you do by having humans key in stuff. You know, it's just that, you know, they're going to get distracted and make some potential errors. And the more you can automate those things, the higher quality records that you can actually introduce into your ERP system, the more likely you are to actually ship out those products on time and get the right products at the right places. So not only just interaction with our ERP system, but from our ERP system, we're also taking feeds of products that are added every day and then sending them into our PIM system, the Salsify, so that they can then kick off additional workflows to get further enhanced and they're ready to go to market. When you're trying to take a description that is really hard to understand and making it simple, an enhancement process that we do through Salsify. You know, so if a person's going to get you an image, they're going to make sure that it's readable, you understand exactly what you're getting. And then identify any of those key components that really say, okay, this has this little ring is this size, it's going to fit this type of component or piece of equipment. The other thing that we take a lot of time in doing is ensuring that we can help with cross-reference items. The one difficult part is one component, one widget, maybe sold under 5 or 6 different item numbers across different companies. And so being in this space, we've got years and years worth of experience looking for these parts. And that years of experience has led us to build quite a catalog of what the items were and what they are now. And we make all those old item numbers searchable so that people can find the new item that's currently being sold today from us and get it out to them quickly.
And so then that actually, going from there, if you look at the smart shipping and the smart, all the things that you can use for making sure, you said, I think 3 days, was that the guarantee? And you think about a lot of these companies, these places and these companies are more rural. So everything you could do to save time up front in the entire supply chain process, you're basically gaining time. And that's really exciting to hear because everything you're doing is really automating as much as you can.
You bet. And then those companies that have chosen to partner with us are going to get exposed to being able to pay with different terms, measures, or have different types of discounts, like maybe dealer level pricing. And dealer level pricing is something that all of our customers can experience as well. So once we establish that relationship with people that want to do business with us, set them up on custom price plans so we can all make a little money as we're trying to work through the process of making money. And then go ahead and pass on the fact they get the parts to their customers as well.
And so looking out today, you know, now you have this great perspective of everything you've gone through and challenges that you've overcome. If you're talking to any manufacturers, distributors out there, they're considering a digital sales channel, and they haven't yet made that decision. Like, what advice would you give them about best practices? Do you start off, obviously data is a huge piece, and then starting off with discovery? I mean, there's a lot to do before you just pick a platform and you don't just set up a store and you're done. I mean, this is a journey.
It's definitely a journey. You have to start out with the discovery piece for how it is that you're going to scope the process involves having conversation with every aspect of the business. So when I think about e-commerce, I see e-commerce as the center of the wheel. You can't do e-commerce unless you're talking to your product line managers, your marketing team, your external channels, your operations team, your shipping department. All of those pieces all play a role in how you do e-commerce business. So the person's helping to coordinate that needs to take the time to do discovery and understand how they're going to impact that segment of business with your e-commerce channel. You know, and so we spent a lot of time going to and talking to everybody from our finance team to our, you know, our accounts payable, even talking to every different segment of our business and working with our legal team. And everyone was involved in the process of helping us to properly scope our project. And even then, you know, as you go through and you spend the majority of your time up front scoping it, asking questions, the thousand questions become the expert around this segment of business. And so the more of those questions that you ask, the better that you'll be able to scope out the project. And as you do those things, you're going to hit the 80% that's required to get the business done. Then there's always still that 20% that's kind of looming in the background that comes up as you go through the development process. You're like, oh, wait a minute, we're going to have to pivot here. You know, even though you do all the planning, you have to still plan for a pivot. It's going to come.
Yes. Well said. And my interest, but one thing I'd love to get your take on, because you have been so successful and, you know, WasteQuip is such a forward-thinking company. I'm sure as you've gone through, one of the roadblocks any implementation manager, solution arc, anyone who's in part of this entire project, you're going to encounter people who may be resisting. You're going to encounter people like, why are we doing this? I still want to have my two-inch catalog, you know, and I'm sure by you saying, you know, well, it could get wet and you could lose it, like what happened in your office. I mean, that's not enough to, you know, I'm just saying that person, but anyone along that entire, you know, project, how do you overcome resistance?
Yeah. You know, I think the first thing that I really try to focus on is whenever I have a conversation with a segment of business, I want to know what their pain points are. What is difficult about the job you're being asked to do today when it comes to this? And explore that and say so, and then let them be part of the solutioning. You know, as you approach the situation, being an active listener is something that you have to practice, you have to be good at in order to make sure that you are understanding what even their requirements are. And so if you approach this as, well, as we're building this out, we're going to look at trying to remediate some of the issues that you're having today, get in front of those to make your overall day-to-day better. That's really, that's the way I approach life, that's the way I approach my projects, is that anyone that's involved with it, you can't figure out how to tell them what's in it for them to try to get it better, then their project is going to be less likely to be successful. Taking that time to kind of personalize each different segment of this, making sure that what they tell you is actually ends up being on a list that you go through for your testing plans, helps to validate that you do care, that you are listening, and that you're really working to try to make the overall experience better for everybody.
And I'm sure, I mean, for me, in my experience, involving them in the UAT process and the entire, anything from, you know, scoping to the requirements translation to then you have the prototypes, whatever it might be. If you're doing GUI design, everyone needs to be part of this entire project along the way and not feel that it's forced on them. Would you agree?
You know, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the things that I really take a lot of pride in is I over-communicate. I communicate to a point that people probably delete my emails. without renewal. I mean, to a point where it's like
I
try to make sure that they're involved. And, you know, and so as I go through, this is what it's going to look like. Giving the people that are in leadership, some of the decision makers, a chance to say, you know what, that looks good, and give some other feedback, giving them an opportunity just to speak up and be vocal about it. And beyond that, as we're doing enhancements, as we come across problems, you know, we use Teams a lot just to make sure that we are communicating it to everybody whenever we're saying, hey, I'm looking for feedback on this. I'm going to call out a couple of different individuals and ask you specifically to get back to me. That works. But the thing that you still have to keep in mind that's always so difficult is that all these people that you try to enlist to help you with these special projects still have a day-to-day job. They still have that job of making us money every day, whatever their function is.
Yes.
And carving out that time for UAT testing is difficult. So set your expectations low for how many hours you're going to get from these people that have day jobs. I wouldn't expect any more than an hour a day.
That's even a lot. Yeah.
Even with our leadership pushing behind us, you know, it's like they're still like, everyone has to help. Everyone has to help. Well, they can really help as much as they can in a day. And still get
there, you just touched on such an important point, leadership. You have to have that crisp leadership message from the top down.
I think that where I'm lucky is that the WasteQuip family understands that e-commerce is a way of the future, is that there's so many opportunities for where we can actually take this segment of business if we have a strong e-commerce channel. Now, they've looked to me to be the leader behind that and identifying how it is that we can set up an infrastructure that's scalable and dynamic and responsive to whatever their needs are. And so with the tools that we've implemented between our integrations from our ERP system that help us stay on top of any item changes or pricing changes or customer changes, all that stuff is automated. So I don't have to touch it, right? That's the first thing, automate as much as possible. And two is taking the time to go through and making sure that you have the right tools in place that can do the functions that you need. So a good workflow tool, good project management tool for automating some of our internal processes needed, and then setting up a standard for how it is that you go to market. working with partners like Oral Commerce, they give you platforms that not only work for one website, being wastebuild.com, but it's a multi-tenant solution. I use Oral Commerce for both mountaintarp.com and Wastebuild, and I'm able to feed it with my same infrastructure. So all that being said is that WasteQuip family has allowed me to build an infrastructure that I can scale. And since we launched in May, and since that time, we have onboarded an additional 12,000 SKUs. We started out with 24,000, now we're at 36,000. So just in that time from being able to get 12,000 more SKUs ready to go has been an overall feat that we wouldn't be able to do in the past.
Well, it's certainly you can use one instance like for all these sites, as you're saying. So right there, your ROI already goes up. So for companies that say their business is too complex, that's probably the thing I hear most when I've consulted. Their business is too complex. They have XYZ. I've seen it all. And to me, I do respect they believe their business is too complex. But really, no business is too complex that can't be solved with some technology or process changes or something along the line around the entire value stream that you're going across in your company. So can you speak to that as far as like, how would you tell people like, don't think your business is too complex. Let's not use that excuse. Let's look at how we can solve the problem.
The first thing I really have to fall back on is all businesses, unless you're a nonprofit, are in business for one thing, that's to make money. Right. So how is it that you go about doing that? Can you define that process out to where you can actually speak to it fluently? If you can speak to how it is that you make money, then you're starting down the right path. You know, you've got to ask the questions on how it is that we go through the process of obtaining funds from our customers, whether that be with a service call. Maybe your strategy is more along the lines of bringing people and identifying that you are a service industry. So bringing them to your site to schedule maintenance or things of that nature. Or you're selling products where you're really working on trying to get the products that you have out onto Google or any other platform to be found in searches, or you're just trying to get brand recognition to set up different consulting opportunities. You know, it's really just about, you know, how is it that you have to go to market? So your go-to-market strategies may be different depending on the channel that you're working in, but you still have to define that overall process of how we make money. It's kind of interesting working at WasteQuip because we are in the manufacturing space. And I can tell you that my approach for how I want to actually sell products in my manufacturing space is a lot different than the distribution space that we have with WasteBuild. Different approaches for how it is I'm going to try to go to market. And it's just a matter of where does e-commerce fit into the overall strategy for your business? Is it going to be a primary source of income or is it a brand name play and things of that nature? And so your approaches for really how much you invest or how much infrastructure you build for it are going to be based upon where it is, where you think e-commerce fits into your overall strategy for your company.
Yeah, I think that's key. And also really understanding what I love about e-commerce and a project around creating a digital sales channel is it exposes every part of the business. So if you don't know your business today, you're going to know it after you get through this project or even get through part of it. And I think that's something that a lot of people have fear about, that they think they know their business, but they're not sure because so-and-so has all their client information on a Rolodex and on paper notes and they don't want to disturb them. But you know, you got to think about it. This day and age, you have to build resilience for the future. And you can't be afraid of not digitizing, digitalizing, and transforming. That's just not an option anymore. We saw that with COVID. It's continuing. It's exciting to hear how much WasteQuip is in that space and understands that importance of resilience.
And I think you hit upon a point too, is that understanding your business and the way you see it today may change once you actually go live with your website. I mean, you know, one of the things that we hadn't really planned on was the way that our customers were structured. And so, you know, as you go through and you introduce new segments of business, new revenue streams, find opportunities to make improvements to your internal onboarding processes. We know from a customer service perspective how to get funds from all of our customers, who to contact within the finance department. But we don't have a really good understanding of who our buyers are. And those are the people that actually we use in the website. So we've had to go through and change our overall structure and reallocate some of our resources to collect that information from our customers and prepare them for success on our website. Now, if you're expecting your customers to 100% adopt this new website that you're building, then you have to really do even a more thorough job of reviewing your current state so that can you get 100% adoption with the information that you have today? If not, then you have to kick off other projects to better know your customers.
Excellent point. Such a great point. And so that's where I'd like to kind of go into this final section of where do you see WasteQuip's digital journey going? I know you guys are talking about expanding how your technology is going to be used. I'd just love to hear what's next.
There is opportunities for us to continue to use what we have as an infrastructure. So trying to build up our overall assembly drawings and getting more of those out there that fit more of our customers' needs. So we even look to our customers and give them opportunities, provide us feedback and contact requests of what other drawings they'd like to see kind of created.
Oh, great.
Those types of things. beyond that, we're going to continue to build out the WasteQuip brand. WasteQuip is an all-in-one solution for anybody in the refuse business. And I have a goal of trying to even get a full truck online that you can customize within 5 years. Now, the only way I'm ever going to do that is if I can build these assembly drawings go all the way up. So we're going to continue to focus on those things. You know, WasteQuip is that company. You know, and so we want to be able to present that to our customers and say, this is your one-stop shop. This is where you want to come if you're in the waste business and you need parts, you need anything, come to us. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, and then there's just that continued growth of trying to make it easier for customer experience, whether that be through configurators, where we have the direct connections to configurators that ask more questions to help identify the right parts or the right offering for our customers. That might be a solution, or maybe it is some of this image recognition type of a technology where we can kind of get in front of our customers and say, hey, go ahead and take a picture of that and send it to me. And I can help you find it off of just that image. You know, some of those things, anything that's going to just say, I want to do business with WasteQuip, they've taken the time to invest with us in their infrastructure to make it easier for me. And if I'm doing that, then I'm doing, I think, what I've been put on this earth for. So
that's awesome. And you know, it's so interesting you say that because people talk to me about technology and how I spend the majority of my life, you know, in technology. Does it really, you know, I have friends who are in nonprofits, et cetera. And I don't know that people really realize that making somebody's life easier by what you're doing, ordering online, or say removing friction in their daily job, or getting a part quicker so that, say, even think about the end customer. Everyone has garbage service, right? If somebody can't get their garbage picked up and it's piling up, that person's day is worse. Just this small piece of technology or small change or tweak or something that you're doing to improve operations just trickles down that you don't, I mean, it's exciting that you don't even know sometimes, and then going somewhere and somebody makes a comment, you're like, yeah, I work for that company. Yeah, we made their life better. And just that's something that I think is really interesting. People don't take into account about how much technology improves people's lives, and they don't necessarily just see it, but it's there.
For sure. And with the launch of our website, it was kind of funny. We did our initial launch at Waste Expo this year down in New Orleans. And so while we were down there, I had more salespeople coming up from our internal team that were excited about the website. I had to kind of push them aside so I could show what we're doing to our customers.
Oh, that's so funny.
So our website is making it easier for our salespeople to help find the parts so they can sell them. At the same point, you know, our customers are going to be able to experience, be able to find products easily, use our awesome search engine, use our ordering tools, our quick order tools, so they can do multiple product imports at the same time and just decrease the amount of time to do business with us. And it's like all of these things respect our customers, show them that we care, help them to save time, help them to buy the right parts when they need them. So it makes it easy. I mean, that's why you want to do business with WasteQuip.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Kevin. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to chatting with you in the future.
Hey, I appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity. It's a pleasure doing business with you and being partners with you guys.
Awesome. Well, you have a great day, Kevin.
You too.
This episode is brought to you by Oro, a leading innovator and provider of customer-driven, powerful and connected open source software for B2B digital transformation. Oro seeks to build long-term, trustful relationships with its customers, integrators, developers, and technology partners by empowering people with the best tools to digitalize their business. Find out more at oroinc.com. That's OROINC.com. Thank you for listening to B2B Commerce Uncut, a journey through change, powered by Oro. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.